I want to take a moment to welcome all of you here today and thank you. And our ushers be happy to help you. And you can also download our CLC South Bend app, and you can follow along under the sermon notes tab that's available both in English and in Spanish. As we continue in our Arise and Shine series, somebody say arise. Somebody say shine. We're still in that series, and we're particular in this segment that we have entitled The Antidote. It's almost a series inside of a series. But we left off last week talking about the Word of God. How many of you have been encouraged to just get into the Bible a little bit more? Amen. I see all those hands all over the room. Amen. Hallelujah. But we've been talking about the Word of God and how important the Word of God is to, and knowing God's word, how important that is to building our faith so that our faith can have something, some solid ground to be rooted in. And we kicked off that message with a verse from Romans chapter 10, verse 17. I want to really go ahead and start there and review that verse as well as a few of the, actually, I'm just going to review the points as well so we can dig into that. But I want to go to Romans 10 and 17 and just read this very simple verse. Many of you are familiar with it already. It simply says this: so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And so faith is it, and let me just kind of review this a little bit, because we need faith to help us to give thanks and praise to God when we can't see good stuff going on. We need faith to help us. Now, why is thanksgiving and praise helpful? Well, we've been talking a lot earlier in this series about how necessary it is for thanks and praise to be in our hearts and even on our lips, even in our hands being raised and so forth, so that we avoid the bitterness and the jealousy that can so easily be rooted into our hearts. And we want those things out of our hearts so that the light of Christ that's in us can arise and shine. And we need the light of Jesus Christ to arise and shine in us so that there's a world, because there's a world in darkness that needs to see that. And so we're kind of working our way backwards in all of this. But in order to have faith, we really need something to have faith in. Okay, so faith, it just by itself without the word becomes a kind of a void issue. Because if we don't know what to have faith in, then our faith really does have trouble standing. So faith comes by hearing. We are designed to believe what we hear. Amen. If I told you something about some famous politician or actor, you would probably believe it just because you heard me say it. You would not put any research to it. And you hear, well, so-and-so. I heard that from Pastor Doug. It must be true. He wouldn't have said it if it wasn't true. So we're designed to believe what we hear, and the Word of God confronts that here. But real hearing of truth comes by us hearing, and I don't mean just audibly hearing, I mean deep down in us really grasping the Word of God. So he that has an ear, you hear the Bible say that a few times, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to his people. So having the Word of God in us helps us to build our faith, and whether that's on an individual level or a collective level or a congregational level, it doesn't matter. Faith is built up when we really know the Word of God. So we want to have time and take time to really delve into the Word of God every day. And so as we begin listing out these points, just to show many of the things that the Word of God can and will be to us and for us. And so I want to go back and just cover points 1 through 4 again. we talked about letting the Word of God be your light. In the very beginning, when God created all of the heavens and all the earth, the first thing he said was, let there be light. You know, there you have to be able to see what you're working with. You have to be able to see reality. You have to be able to see truth for what it is. And the Word of God is light. Psalms 119, 105 talks about the word being a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. That means the Word of God helps me to see where I am, and it helps me to see where I'm going. whether that's good or bad, whether, you know, the place that I'm standing in, the place that I'm headed, doesn't really matter. The word of God helps me to see it. So we need the word of God to be light for us. Then the word of, we talked about the word of God being our foundation. It's the sure-footed place, the sureness upon which we can base our lives. It's the filter through which we can really test and judge everything in life. Am I handling money right? Am I handling relationships right? Am I handling my job right? Am I treating my wife right? We can base all of those things in the Word of God. The Word of God has an answer for all of that. We talked about in Matthew 7 where Jesus says, "He that hears these words of mine and does them is like someone who's built their house on a rock." So when you're living according to my word, God is saying here, or Jesus was saying in that moment, then your life is surely founded. And so whatever comes from the Lord, whatever attack comes from the enemy, whatever human wisdom comes from people, it won't shake you. It won't disrupt you. It won't knock you off your base because you are rooted and grounded in the Word of God. And of course, in the very beginning was the Word of God. We actually just sang that in a verse of the song that we just, that you were the Word in the beginning. Okay. And so God's Word has been here before we even gotten here. So we can base our lives and have sureness on Him. And so this last one that I want to talk to you about, and then we'll pick up with point number four, is letting the Word of God cleanse you. Let the Word of God cleanse you. David said in Psalms 119, he said, "How can a man cleanse his way? By taking heed to your word." And then in verse 11, he talks about, "Your word I've hid in my heart so that I don't sin against you." Okay, you can, I don't know if that's up there, but you can write that scripture down. Psalms 119, verses 9 through 11. Just read that whole chapter. It's only 172 verses long. Yeah, that's a good one. But I want to pick up here, and I know we talked about point number four last week, but I want to start this message from this point. And we're talking today. Last week, I made a reference to the fact that these first two points, the first two points, talk about what God's word can be for us, a foundation. It can be light. And the rest of these points, we're really talking about what the Word of God can do in us or do for us. But today, I want to kind of divide this in a different place. These first three points that we just talked about, the Word of God being a light, being our foundation, and then cleansing us, I want to kind of take it from there because what I see and how this got divided up wasn't even my intention, but it was that the Word of God can help you deal with old stuff, particularly old thinking. And these next four points are getting ready to help us with how God can establish new thinking in our minds. These first three help us to, you know, see some of the old, even cleanse away some of the old thinking. But these next four points that we're talking about, it's really about allowing God's word to establish new thinking in us, okay? So point number four we talked about was that we want to let the word of God teach us, train us, and equip us. Teach us, train us, and equip us. Can you say that with me? Teach us, train us, and equip us. That's probably a whole message all by itself. But we're going to talk about that as point number four today. I want to take you to 2 Timothy chapter 3. And at the very end of that chapter, Paul is encouraging Timothy here about Scripture and its effectiveness to really be all that we need to establish us in ministry. And here's what the Scripture says. Verse 16 says, "All Scripture is inspired by God, and it is useful to teach us." And then I left out a little bit of verse 16 right there, and we're going to talk about the remainder of that verse in the next point. But it says, "All Scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us." Verse 17, "God uses it to prepare and equip His people to do every good work." So God uses the word of God to help equip us. And so the points that we're talking about here is to teach us, to train us, and to equip us. Because this these first three points from these last four points is because the first three points help us to deal with cleansing us from old thinking. And we were talking about teaching, training, and equipping. Then that means God is getting you ready for something new. If I would have to teach you something if I didn't have to give you new information. If I was just giving you old information, then I'm not teaching. I'm just reviewing. I'm not equipping you if I haven't given you something that you don't already have. Okay, so like a police officer, they need a firearm. They need whatever else they carry these days, a can of pepper spray or handcuffs and bullets and all that good stuff. They're equipped to go out and fight crime. If they don't have that, if all they have is their badge, that's good to show that authority. But everybody doesn't necessarily respond to that. But when they see the firearm and the legal, you know, authority to use it, then it becomes, okay, it's like, okay, I can listen to you now because I'm equipped with what I need. So if I'm teaching you, I'm giving you new information. Here's where the problem comes in studying the Word of God is that we are fallen man. We have tendencies in us that fight against what God is trying to teach us. So in Galatians 5, you have verses that talk about how the flesh wars against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. And so I naturally fight against God's word, trying to tell me what to do because I want to do what I want to do. I have my own thoughts. I have my own will. I have my own desires. And I want to fulfill that. I don't really want to yield to what God wants me to yield to. Because what I want to yield to sounds like fun. And what God wants me to yield to, I don't sound all that fun. It doesn't really sound like all that much fun. So when God's word is trying to teach us something, there's a natural tendency in us to fight it. Not all the time, but many times it takes a little while for it to break through the as the Bible calls it, the fallow ground of our hearts to really get into us. So when God's word is trying to teach us, we have to be cognizant of the fact that I've got a will that's getting ready to fight this. And it's going to take me some effort just to wrestle my will to the ground and let the word of God actually get in me and teach me what he's trying to teach me. So the word of God teaches us. It gives us new information. It replaces old thoughts with new thoughts that I have to be careful not to fight against. So the word of God may tell me, as we talked about last week, to die to myself when it comes to my wife. And I could get all macho and say, well, I wear the pants in the family. Y'all gonna do what I say do. And it's going to take some new thinking that says in order for you to love your wife properly, you've got to love her as Christ loves the church and gave his life. That means willingly lay his life down for the church. Willingly lay my life down for my wife. Amen. I'm going to wait till all the applause from the men dies down. Now give me a sip here. Amen. Almost lost my hearing with the cry of men in agreement. It takes the word of God to teach me that. And so I can be a teacher of God's word to you on a Sunday morning. But I guarantee somewhere around Tuesday afternoon, you're getting ready to get some training. Training is a little bit different than teaching. Training is applying what you've been taught. And I don't want to get into too much of next week, but the Holy Spirit will oftentimes, in an effort to teach you, bring you into some training places. You keep asking God to deliver you from what's happening on your job, and Jesus is actually trying to train you. Wow. Amen. Fix this husband of mine. You know, change this supervisor and all of that. And you know, there are times when God's just using that to train you. And it's not that God won't fix the situation as you're praying, but you've got to get out of it what you need to get. Yeah, so sometimes a broken pottery needs to be broken again, shaped on the wheel of the potter's wheel. Sometimes there are some things that needs to be thrown into the fire. And we don't need to jump out of the furnace. We don't need to get off the potter's wheel. We need to let God keep making us in situations like that. Now, I ain't telling you not to pray. I'm just saying. Now, the Bible also is also, the word of God can also equip us. And in Ephesians 7, Paul talks about the whole armor of God. And one of the pieces of that armor is the word of God. And so here in Ephesians 6 and 17, it says, and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. God's word is one part of this spiritual arsenal that's actually offensive and not defensive. It helps us to put the enemy to flight instead of just taking what he's dishing out. Thank God for the shield of faith. Thank God for the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth, the gospel of peace that shod our feet. But there's a time where it's like, you know what? I'm not putting up with this anymore, devil. And I'm going to slice you with the word. I'm going to slice this situation with the word of God and decree over it from my heart through my mouth gate what the word of God says as a sword to cut through what the enemy is bringing to me. Now, there's a time to do that. There's a time to just kind of rest in God. And there's a time where it's like, you know what? Something's stirring up in me and I feel a weapon arising out of my soul, out of my very spirit to speak forth the sword of the Lord to cut down what the enemy is bringing about. And so when you see Jesus in Matthew 4, the Spirit of God leads him deliberately in a face-off with Satan. He has deliberately brought Jesus to be tempted of the devil. And three times we see specifically where the enemy tries to tempt Jesus. And in all three instances, Jesus uses the weapon of the sword of the Lord, which is the word of God. Until finally, on the third time, he says, get thee behind me, Satan. Get away from here. Get out of here. You shall worship the Lord and serve him only. Now, had Jesus not known the word of God, which, I mean, I can't even fathom because he was the word. But if Jesus did not have that in him to be able to decree, he'd have just stood there facing the devil all day. And possibly if, I'm not saying Jesus, would you just imagine you was in this situation? Okay, let's put Jesus on the shelf for a second. But when we're in those kinds of situations and we're just taking hit after hit after hit, and we don't have the weaponry, the equipment that we need to actually fight that assault, then eventually what happens is we start yielding to the temptation. Because if too many attacks come our way, we're ready to snap on somebody. And if we don't have a word in us from the Lord, the word of God in us that tells us to settle ourselves, that tells us whatever verse of scripture you have to settle you in that moment, somewhere flesh is going to rise. Now, the reason why all of that is important, because somebody might say, well, yeah, I'm going to punch him in the face, and that seems good to me. All of our actions have a fruit to it. What the word of God is trying to get you to do is sow a right seed in every situation so that you can get good fruit from it. And when we sow a flesh seed, then we reap a flesh harvest. And a flesh harvest is a harvest that is of corruption. It's of death. I'm trying to remember how it said in Romans 8 that says when we sow to the flesh, we reap corruption and death. But if we sow to the Spirit or the Word of God, then we reap life and peace. Anybody need peace? Then you need a word seed. You need a word of God seed if you're going to reap peace. You need a peace seed sown. And that seed is going to come from the word of God in your heart that directs your actions to what the word of God is telling you to do so that eventually peace will be the fruit that you live off of. Because if you end up yielding to that temptation and sowing a flesh seed, then you end up reaping all kinds of chaos, anxiety, fear and anger and frustration. So here's what goes with point number four. We're going to move to point number five. Let the word of God correct you. Now let me go back to 2 Timothy chapter 3. This is from the NLT, by the way, the New Living Translation. All scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us. That's where we stopped. And you're getting ready to see why I stopped there. Let's keep reading. It's there to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. Amen. It corrects us when we are wrong. And it teaches us to do what is right. It corrects us. Now, before you get, I don't want you sulking over like, oh God, yeah, you got me, Lord. It's like, listen, the only reason why the word of God is teaching you where you're wrong is so you can get it right. Why? Because God understands that if you continue to sow a flesh seed in what's wrong, you're going to reap a flesh harvest. God wants you to have a spirit harvest instead. He wants you to have a word of God harvest that's a fruitful, peaceful, loving, joyful harvest for you instead of the crazy flesh harvest that we often get tempted to sow into that only reaps a bunch of confusion to us. So the only reason why God is saying, listen, the word of God is good for you. It's gonna correct you, because why would you want to keep doing it wrong? And by it, I mean life. I mean choices. I mean decisions. Why would you want to keep doing it wrong if it's only giving you back what you know you don't want to live off of? So the word of God brings you to a corrected place so you can do it right. Now, I have to say it that way because, you know, I mess with you too much, and I apologize for that. But if I just leave it there the way we read it, we think of it as if, you know, God's just putting us over his knee and spanking our bottoms. Because we've been such bad boys and girls. And that's not it at all. We've just been sowing into a place that's reaping us a hellish result. And God wants to give you a heavenly result. He wants to give you a good and prosperous end. Not a depleted and poverty-stricken end. And so when we have the word of God in us, we can actually sow in our actions what God's word tells us to do, and it reaps for us a peaceful, joyful, loving, prosperous, abundant, well-being state. Did I finish reading chapter verse 16? And then verse 17 says God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. Every good work. God uses scripture to prepare you to do every good work. I think I've shared this probably a few times, but I'll share it again anyway. There's a place where we have to understand what the word of God says. And once we're done fighting it with our, you know, our logic and our reason and our emotions and our opinions, at some point we yield. Some time ago, when my wife and I left, not CLC and Tinley, but the church we were before that, we did not leave on good terms. Okay? I personally left with one of those, I'm a grown man, y'all don't tell me what to do, I'm out of here, kind of attitudes. And so when we left that church, we were several months out of church, period. And we were youth pastors then. And I personally thought we were done with church. Like, we can just go back to being regular people. That was my thinking. And then finally God spoke to us, and particularly spoke to me and said, Doug, this time go to church, but go to church for me. And I thought, wow, how, you know, profound. Going to church to serve God. Who knew? Because we were serving man for so much, and we were bowing under the will of people so much. That's why many of you, and I know, well, I probably shouldn't even get into all of this, and I won't. Just forget it. Maybe some other time. But when we left that church, we were out of church for several months. And so we said, okay, fine, we'll go to church. I can tell by this parking lot that I ain't gonna like this church. So we went to one church and we just like, I appreciate the word. Thank you. We gone. I appreciate it. We will not be back. Went to another church and I could just tell from the sound of what sounded to me like a squawk box. And I was like, nope, I don't even know. I can't even figure out what you're saying. And I appreciate it, but we're not coming back. And then suddenly someone told me about Christian Life Center, and something in my spirit leaped, almost like Elizabeth with Mary. It's like, that's the feeling that I got. Like, oh, what was that? I hadn't even set foot on the campus yet. We drove up. I could tell by the parking lot, this is getting ready to be home. We went through the door, and I'm telling you, waves and waves of warmth of God's presence hit us in the lobby. In the lobby. We got into the sanctuary. It felt like so many broken people who just wanted to serve God. And I was like, oh my God, I'm home. And then out walks this very unassuming gentleman, preached the word with simplicity, and went back and just greeted people. I'm like, ain't he going to hoop a little bit? What's going on? Are we done? Are we out? Is it over? Wait a minute. You tell me I can still make it to lunch. What's going on? What is with this church? And we became members several months later. And then after becoming members, we sat down, and some of you have already been through the same kind of process we go through here, and found out we were youth pastors. And of course, Pastor Jerry wanted us to become, you know, youth pastors there. It's like, okay, well, I'll give you 2 weeks and we'll get to that. We were so burnt out. We were like, Pastor Jerry, please, don't make us do nothing, man. It's like, okay, I'll give you some room for that. But Pastor Jerry understood that if you're going to be a servant in God's church, then you need to put your hands to something. I was like, okay, we'll do that. So we started in youth ministry suddenly, and then I don't know why, but God told me to join the choir, got in the choir, and we became elders, and eventually we became campus pastors. And in becoming campus pastors, I was being called upon to preach. And when I was getting ready to preach, God specifically told me, hey, congratulations, you're getting ready to bring your gift to me. Do you remember what my word says about bringing your gift to me? Yeah. You're going to have to be reconciled. In case you're not familiar with Matthew chapter 5, the Bible talks about how before we bring our gift to the Lord, if we know that we have, that there's something that's outstanding in terms, now the Bible calls it an ought, but an offense, if I can just bring it in simple terms, if there's an offense between you and somebody else and you want to bring your gift to me, put your gift down and go be reconciled. So I had to put my gift down to go be reconciled with a pastor who I had an attitude with, because I was just a young knucklehead who didn't understand nothing. But had it not been for the word of God in me, who knows? Who knows what crazy decision I would have made? But something of God's word in me had to pull me to a place where God wanted me to be, to say, go be reconciled. Go be reconciled. Go back to your pastor and make sure you're at peace with one another. And so before I could preach that first message, I had to go be reconciled. Why? Because the word of God said so. What would have been the results? I don't want to know. Had I chosen something different, I don't really care. I don't want to find out. I feared the Lord too much. Because the Bible says to fear the Lord. Amen. So let me walk you through these two scriptures. Because I want you to just see this real quick. Let's go to James. James chapter 1, verse 22. It says, but be doers of the word, and not hearers only. So don't just be equipped with the word. Actually live it. Okay? Deceiving yourselves. He says, be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. Okay? So this verse, this passage of scripture here, has a connotation of looking at life in a mirror. That means I see myself. But just like when we look in a mirror, if we're not doing what the word says, we become just like somebody who looks in a mirror and then walks away and forgets what they look like. Anybody see themselves in a mirror this morning? You have to depend on your imagination to remember was my jacket okay? Was my shirt crooked? My tie okay? Or, you know, I'm not wearing no tie. But then he goes on to say, for he observes himself and goes away and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty, and continues in it. That means if I'm a doer, And I'm not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. It says this one will be blessed in what he does. There's a blessing in you doing the word. There's a blessing in you doing it. There's a blessing in you hearing it, but there's a greater blessing in you doing it. Because your doing displays what you believe. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. And when and faith is dead without the doing. Is that all coming together in you? So there's a place where the word of God corrects me. It lets me see the standard that I need to be living up to. And then it sees me, it helps me to see where I'm actually living. 1 Corinthians 13 and 12 says this. Now we see things perfectly, or imperfectly rather, I'm sorry. Now we see things, right now we see things imperfectly, like puzzling reflections. And there's that mirror talking, reflections in a mirror. But then, now understand, Paul here is the one writing this. He's talking about this life versus the next life in heaven. So he's saying, now we don't quite understand all of what life means and all of what every scripture means and every word that the Spirit of God gives to us. We see that imperfectly, but when we all get to heaven, as the song says, we'll understand all of those things perfectly. And so it says, but then we shall see everything with perfect clarity. All that I know now is partial and incomplete. But then I will know everything completely, just as God now knows me completely. Now, listen to this. When we talk about correction and the word of God correcting us, it's not just about you off somewhere and God's got to put you over his knee and spank you until you get it right. That's not what it's talking about. Or at least it's not alone what it's talking about. And I hate to use that image of God spanking us. He chastens us because he chastens those who he loves. But understand again, it's just because he wants you in a right place where you can be blessed. But here's the thing too. Sometimes we're off in how bad we think we are. Give you an example. The prodigal son goes off, wastes his father's inheritance, comes back, has spent all kinds of time in a pig pen, probably hasn't even had the time to wash himself clean, comes to the father and comes to his senses rather and says, my father has servants who are eating better than this. If I can just go home and tell my father, father, I know I messed up, but if you can just make me like one of your servants, I'll be good. So he goes home, prepared to make this speech, and the father sees him afar off, runs after him, falls on his neck, the Bible says, and then begins to kiss him. And the son goes through his whole spiel about, oh, father, when you know, I know I messed up, and if you just make me like one of your servants, then that'll be good enough. The father didn't even respond to that. The father went to the servants and said, get this young man the finest robe, get him, put a ring on his finger, put sandals on his feet, and kill the fatted calf, because we're getting ready to celebrate, because my son, who was once dead, is now alive, who was once lost, is now found. But his perspective, the son's perspective, was, if I could just be a lowly servant. No, you'll never be a servant. You will always be my son. Let me correct your thinking. So the word of God does not just have to correct us in matters of sin. The word of God also has to correct us in a matter of status. You think you're a pauper when you're actually a prince. Everything of correction isn't just about spanking you over God's knee. Sometimes we need to recognize that we're so far off and we're so busy condemning ourselves for what we've done. And I'm right there with you. We're condemning ourselves for all the horrible things we've done, not realizing the love of God that's poured out toward us. So let God's word correct you in that. Like, yeah, I know I need to get some wrong actions right, but I also need to get some misgivings about who I am in God right. An enemy loves to put you, keep you in those condemned places. Like, yeah, you ain't no good. You better be a servant out there wasting your father's money. You better beg to be a servant. It's like, no. The fact that I came home pleased the Father. Amen. So let God's word correct you. Amen. Let God's word also encourage you. Let God's word encourage you. We've been reading about David quite a bit in our Wednesday night Bible study. And in Psalms 119, there's a number of scriptures that David wrote where he asked for encouragement, and we can do this right along with David. In Psalms 119:28, he says, "I weep with sorrow. Encourage me by your word." Verse 25 says, My soul clings to the dust. Revive me, make me live again according to your word." And in verse 50, he says, "This is my comfort in my affliction, for your word has given me life." In Jeremiah 15 and 16, it says, "Your words were found and I ate them. And your word was to me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. For I am called by your name, O Lord God of hosts." When the word of God encourages us, it's either reminding us of what we already know, or it's revealing to us what keeps us holding on to hope. So whether it's healing, I can say to my affliction that by his stripes I am healed. And whether that clears up instantly or in time, I can still make the confession and have by faith that God, by your stripes, I am healed. By your stripes, I am healed. And my faith may have some trouble holding on to that because I still see symptoms. I still feel weakness. I still see this in my life. I'm still getting this doctor's report. But your Lord, your word says that by your stripes, I am healed. By your stripes, I am healed. And until I see the full healing of that, I'm going to keep saying to this affliction that by the stripes of Jesus Christ, I am healed. If I don't see things change, will my heart get discouraged? Yes, it will. But by your stripes, Lord, I'm going to encourage myself with your word. I need some encouragement now because it's been 2 years now and I've been praying for this same affliction. I've been praying for these same ailments. But Lord, I believe that by your stripes, I am healed. I believe it, Lord. I believe it. Now, let me borrow from weeks ago and let me put this out here once more. It's more important for me to please God with my faith than it is for him to please me with a fulfilled promise. Let me let that settle in. It's more important for me to please God with my faith than it is for God to please me with a fulfilled promise. Now, am I trying to let God off the hook? No. If God promised it, I believe he's going to do it. plain and simple. And somewhere in there, my faith has got to hold on to it. I'm holding on to your word. I am not going to let what I see disrupt my faith. Has there ever been a time where you let what you saw disrupt your faith? Is anybody presently in that moment where it feels like, man, I've been praying for this and praying for that, and it has not come to pass. I'm ready to stop praying. Let me say this once more. Focus on pleasing God with your faith. Focus on pleasing God with what you believe. And what you believe has got to be rooted in what God's word says. We're going to leave the results to him. Let's leave the results to Jesus. God, how do you want to work in this? How do you want to display your power in this? How do you want to display your glory? How do you want to glorify yourself in this? Because however you do it, and I would even go as far as to say, even if you don't do it, my desire is to please you with my faith. And I feel like I'm getting stuck here, because I think we've lost that in the body of Christ. We're a little bit more results driven. We're not living a faith driven life. We're a little bit more about results. We live in a society that's a little bit more about results. Not about believing and not about faith. But without faith, it's impossible to please God. God's word never said without results. What is your faith producing when you lay hands on somebody and they're sick and they recover? If I tell you to do it, just do it. Let me worry about the results. Because it's more important for you to have faith in me than it is for me to fulfill what it is that you desire. So whether it's healing, whether it's provision, that says, Lord, I believe that you will supply every need according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. But these bill collectors keep calling me because there's no money in my account. But Lord, I still believe. And people keep asking me why you keep giving to that church. Why you keep giving your money to that church? When you got this bill and you got that bill, and you got this debt, and this one's calling you, because my faith believes that God is going to come through, that the windows of heaven are going to be open for me, and he's going to pour out a blessing for me. I don't know when, I don't know how, I'm not really all concerned with that. What I want to do right now is focus on my faith, and my faith being focused on doing what the word of God says. So we have a tendency to be a little bit more results driven. And I'm not criticizing us in that. I'm just saying we just need to be corrected in that. We don't need to be as results driven as we need to be faith driven. What does your word say, Lord? This is what your word says. Then this is what I'm going to do. And I'm going to let you worry about the results. Is my mind going to get all frazzled because I don't see it when I think it ought to be here? Of course it is. That's why the word of God encourages me. What does it encourage me to do? Keep believing. Amen. Has it happened yet? Keep believing. Has it happened yet? No, keep believing. Point number seven. Tell somebody to keep believing. And we're about done here. Let the word, what all of this, I believe, works together to do. And I'm not telling you this is a, an exhaustive list of things that the word of God does, but I believe all of this works together and transforms us. Let the word of God transform you. Romans 12:2 says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. How does your mind get renewed? It gets renewed when you get new thoughts. What new thoughts need to be in your mind? Well, the thoughts of God's word. But of course, as I mentioned before, oftentimes our natural thinking will fight God's word. But we need to let the word of God transform us. In Proverbs 23:7, it talks about as a man thinks, so is he. Your entire being is predicated on your thinking. What do you see yourself as? How do you see yourself? Do you see yourself in accordance with the word of God? Do you see yourself in accordance with what people said about you as you were growing up as a child? Do you see yourself in accordance with your ethnic background? With what denomination you're part of? Who you voted for? What political party you're a part of? What does the word of God say about you? Who does the word of God say that you are? Jesus says, who do men say that I am? And I'm telling you, I believe the word is saying, who do you say that you are? Because how you see yourself is how you'll be. And if you want to see yourself right, you're going to need to see yourself in some with some right thinking. Are you forgiven? Are you?
I think so.
That's what I heard. Let me drop this on you. I'm going to try to move on because I'm right at that close. I'm like at the club. I'm right there. A revelation came to me to help me understand that all that I have from God, I have it because God gave it to me. I don't have it based on how good and how right I've been. I have it because God gave it to me. And here's why you need to understand that, because a lot of times when it comes to receiving what God has for you, we kind of run through a list. Well, have I been? I ain't really been all that good. I haven't really been all that deserving. And here's where I struggle and have struggled. God's goodness towards me comes to me because he's good with no real concern as to what I've been. But that is the epitome of grace. It's how we defined grace several weeks ago. The grace of God is God's full measure of his full goodness towards us without any regard to our history. None whatsoever. Just boom. All of God's goodness. In your face. In your house. In your heart. On your life. Just because. He is good. And it's got nothing to do with how good you've been this week. Excuse me. It's got nothing to do with how you grew up. It's got nothing to do with the fact that you sold drugs. The fact that you were drunk at a party last night. It's got nothing to do with any of that. God's full measure of goodness is boom, right there in your face. Just because he's good and Jesus died and provided it for you. And it's hard to believe that, isn't it? That's why all of us can't clap. Let me think about that some more. I don't know. You don't know the kind of life I lived, Pastor. You don't know how bad I've been. I'm trying to tell you, it doesn't really matter. God's full measure of his goodness is right there in your face, waiting for you to take it whenever you feel ready. Because he's ready. Plain and simple. It's all yours. Yeah. I think we should close right there. Come on, worship team. See, I caught y'all off guard. They was waiting for me to get to a certain point. What Jesus suffered and died for us to have, is ours. We don't have to wait for perfection to receive it. Receive it now. Receive it now. What Jesus died to provide for us, we simply receive it by faith. The first thing that we have to receive, though, is our salvation. So if somebody's here today and you haven't given your life to the Lord just yet, can I tell you the Lord still loves you? You're the one he died for. You're the one, you're the reason he died. You're the reason he gave his life, so that sin would not be held against you. So when Carl, Elder Carl came up here and talked about the serpent being held up, what he was talking about and how Jesus was a representation of what Jesus would eventually do. Jesus would become sin for us. So when we look to him, what we see nailed to the cross, oh, there's my stuff right there. Wow. Yeah. Oh, he got a nail right in there too. Oh. that was something else I did last week. Right there, nailed to the cross. Thank you, Jesus. I see. It's some stuff on the other side. Oh, yeah, you don't want to see that. But it's up there. It's up there. Nailed to the cross, so he became sin for me, so that I might become the righteousness of God in him. Just by faith. Just by faith. Just by believing in him. That's all. So if you've already given your life to Jesus, great. But if there's sin that keeps hovering over your life, and some condemnation over a past life that you've lived, can I just encourage you today? It's still up there. It's still up there. So when we look to him, the author and the finisher of our faith, we see our sin up there, and we receive what he's poured out, his cleansing, his salvation, his spirit. We receive what he's poured out, his goodness, his blessing, his healing. We receive what he's poured out. that try to stop us from believing that. Amen. I'm going to ask our prayer team to come. Maybe you need that salvation today. And maybe you just need some agreement today. If you've already given your life to the Lord and you just feel hindered with some things, that's one of the things that our cleansing stream class is for. Just to help you get rid of that garbage, to help you get rid of that baggage. Even if you have old habits that are still weighing you down, the Bible talks about of setting aside the sin and the weight. The sin is the sin. We know what that is. But sometimes the weight, it's hard to define. Sometimes the weight of our condemnation and our self-loathing. I hate myself because I let this happen. I hate myself because I did this. And it's impacted my life. Yes, I even see it impacting my children in many ways. But we want to let all that mess go. We want to let all of that go. If you need that cleansing streams course, then we invite you to sign up for it. But even today, if you're just here and you just need a boost to your faith, we want to encourage you today. Amen. Let's sing a little bit. And just remember the powerful, wonderful, and glorious, beautiful name of Jesus Christ is in this moment.
You were the Word at the beginning, one with God the Lord Most High. Your hidden glory in creation,
just ask you to stand to your feet. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And just as we're praying in this moment, whatever it is that you need to give to the Lord, I don't want you to, let me just say it this way. Last Thursday, in our time of prayer here, I deal with a few health issues in my 48 years. Hallelujah! But there's a determination and a desperation came over me, and I just said, God, I just want to be healed. I just want to be healed from these ailments. Now, am I healed yet? I believe I am. Is it showing up in my body? Not really paying much attention to that. But the desperation that I felt, and I can't say that I've lived the perfect life. I can't say that I've done everything right. And I just said, Lord, I don't care about any of that. Your word says that by your stripes I'm healed. I want my healing. I just want healing. And I'm asking you, if you're in need of anything, I just want you to get to God. If this is what your word says, Lord, then this is what I demand life to give me now. In the name of Jesus. If you said you're going to supply my need, and I got a need standing here in front of me, then supply that need, Lord. I'm not really giving any, it's because your word said it. I'm not giving any more consideration to how good I've been or how bad I've been or how well I've lived. I'm not giving any more consideration to how I grew up, what kind of person I've been throughout my life. If you provided healing, then I want to be healed. If you're providing salvation, then I want to be saved. If you're meeting needs, then I want my need met. And if you do it today, if you do it next week, I don't care, but I want it now. I want it right now. I want it now. And I'm not going to let another thing make me believe that it's unavailable to me because of some certain stipulation. No, it's mine because Jesus provided it for me. It's mine. So if you got something you got to get, just come on and get it. Just come on and get it. Don't let anything stand in your way. Just come on and get it in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on, let's worship him a little bit more. Hallelujah. Come on, lift your voice and sing with us this morning. Amen. There's a Katie, Miss Katie, can you play like the intro to the bridge? Yeah, that's good. Now let me tell you what came to mind when I heard that just now. It was like a dinner bell. Do that again. Do it one more time. It's a very creative dinner bell. And I don't know if you've ever seen, like, you know, Westerns and whatnot, but they would ring that bell and basically say, come and get it. That's what I hear when I hear that. I hear a dinner bell that's saying, come and dine. That says, come and eat. Come and eat freely. Whatever it is you need, come and eat. Why waste your money on what won't satisfy? Come and get what God has for you. So if you're here today and you're still in need, can I tell you, we're going to still be up here waiting for you to get what it is that you have from the Lord. But if it's time for you to go, that's okay too. What I want you to do is just lift your hands right now. Father, we thank you for this moment. We thank you for the dinner bell of heaven going off in our hearts to you hunger and thirst for whatever it is that you're desiring in your life. Just come and get it. Come and get me right now. Come and be full of me. I have everything you can possibly need. I will do it. If you need correction, I will correct it. If you need a breakthrough, I will break through it. If you need a miracle, I will provide it. If you need healing or some kind of financial blessing, I will provide it. I will do it. Just come and get it. Come and get it right now. In the name of Jesus. Father, we bless your people with all spiritual blessing right now. In the name of Jesus. Give them everything, Lord God, that you have for them. In Jesus' name. Pour it out abundantly, Lord. Not a little. Pour it out abundantly over their lives. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. If you're still in need of prayer, we invite you to come. If whatever you need to get from the Lord, we invite you to come. Why don't you hug a few people and just bless them, and we'll see you next week.
didn't want